Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hellbound podcast. I am actor Michael Chan.
And I am filmmaker Alex Blackburn.
Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm just finishing up on a prologue production diary entry for my new plate spinning exercise called Set Up and Shoot. So just going through the motions on that, yeah.
I love what you've put out already. I'm really excited to see what you guys show us.
Yeah, we're going to bring in what we've decided to do is not to do kind of interviews with filmmakers or anything, because we want to keep the focus on the film itself and the pre-production of it. But we're going to speak to filmmakers and talk about different aspects of production. We're going to go through a flow chart of what it takes to make a short film and then to get it distributed or get it online or enter into competition. So we're going to go through the whole gamut, a gauntlet of what you have to do to make a film. So it should be fun. It's not going to be a week by week thing. That's something we're clear about in the next episode, that it's going to be when we can do it, because it's a bit of a passion thing and it can be really tricky, you know, with so many plates spinning. There's only so much time left.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is like a parental horror story, but like the other day we left, Jessica, my wife and I, we left our daughter in her bedroom. Cause, she, you know, those like, cactus toys where if you like speak to it, it will repeat what you say, but like in a high pitched voice.
Oh,
and
okay.
It like dances and lights up while it's doing that. And it's like a whole trend on TikTok for a while too, with that little cactus. So originally, she was given a Grogu, a Baby Yoda version of that.
Yeah.
And then we thought it broke because it stopped working and new batteries weren't working either. So I ended up buying her a cactus, which she then broke, and then I got her another one. But anyway, she loves these toys. Like our daughter, she's in love with them, and she just loves like screaming at them at the top of her lungs so that they scream back. And I think because of her genetic condition, the way she learns language and stuff, you know, it's difficult for people like us who learn language, in a more typical way, to understand and try to figure out what she's saying. So this thing basically just talks right back to her exactly the way she talks. So I think sometimes I'm wondering, like, does she just think it understands her, you know, or she likes hearing things repeated the way she says it. Regardless, she's in love with them. Anyway, so, you know, we left her in a room and, you know, she's screaming, she's playing. Then things go really silent. And if anybody has kids, they know that when things go silent,
yeah,
something's wrong. So we were expecting another Poopmageddon because we've had quite a bit of those. But no, we walked in, and so that day she was wearing a brand new rainbow sweater that she chose from The Gap. She chose that one herself. That is her style now. She likes colorful things and like Halloween tights with like little pumpkins and ghost candies and that all over it. Okay, so that's the print on. So she looked super cute. Well, we walked in and she was white, like head to toe white. Turns out somehow she opened the drawer where we have her diapers and her bum cream. And she opened the bum cream. It's a big jar of it, and just smeared herself with it, head to toe. So what we walked into was a little ghost.
Oh my god!
Oh boy!
I feel it. Obviously, I'm not asking to see them, but did you take any pictures?
No. Don't take pictures when you walk into that. You get them out of there. You get your kid out of their clothing, and then you run them to the bath.
Oh my god!
Thank goodness the lights. The light was on, because if the light was off and it was, you know, getting dark, and we walked into this little white figure, I think I would have jumped.
Yeah, I think you
just
would
for a
have. Yeah.
second. You know what I mean? Like, you don't expect it.
Yeah.
It's like, ah! Like, it's like ghost makeup, you know?
Oh my God.
Like, what happened to my kid? What did you do to my kid? Who are you?
Oh my God. Was she like super slippery then?
It's kind of sticky, stick. Anyways, even after the bath, by the way, she had the
Right.
bum cream smell, so it's kind of minty, kind of, I just, yeah. So
Oh my
that's
God.
my real life horror story for all of you to enjoy. Moving on from that, I would really like to talk about the movie Megan.
Please
Came out
do.
last year,
I'm
the one
really, I
with,
really want to see it.
because everyone went nuts for that movie. Like, the hype was super high when the trailer came out and everyone saw that robotic doll dancing around, right? So
Yeah.
basically the story is this girl, she loses her parents, ends up having to, like, her aunt takes her in. Her aunt is in robotics, and she works for a company that makes, like, Furby like toys, but kind of a little bit in the future. So they're controlled by tablets and stuff, and uses AI. Anyways, so she has this robot that she made called Megan, which is, like, the first android for kids. And it's supposed to, I guess, attach itself to the child and then becomes the child's friend. And then obviously things go wrong from there in the general horror style. So when I first saw the trailer, I was excited, don't get me wrong, but this has been done before when Blumhouse released their version of Child's Play.
Oh my word. And that was abominate. That was one of their worst films, I
So
think.
that was tr no offense, Blumhouse, that was trash.
Yeah.
So we don't even need to skip to a Saturday review, because if we did a Saturday 5-minute review, it would be a 1-second review.
Yeah.
Child's Play by Blumhouse, trash. Don't
Rubbish.
watch it.
Yeah.
Bye. You
It's
know,
so
like,
bad.
I'm no, like, honestly, no offense to the people who made it. That was a terrible movie. Okay.
Yeah.
So my expectation for films like this is already low, because I just didn't know if they could be able to pull it off. Now, I
Did
was
you
excited, however, to know that Ronny Chang.
can I just ask you one quick question? Did
Yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
go in with the perception, oh, you had like child's play in your kind of foresight, your mind, thinking this is
In a
just gonna
way.
be, yeah.
Because, like, okay, my general expectations are already quite low for horror films. I love horror films. Don't get me, like, you all know it's my favorite genre. I make horror films. But I guess just like anything else really nowadays, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, right? And things don't really generally live up to expectation. And when, especially when a trailer looks that good, my expectations actually go even lower. Because I have been disappointed more times than not by really good trailers. So kudos, by the way, to the people who made the trailer, because that really hyped everyone up. Like, that worked. Your trailer worked.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I'm just gonna say that that trailer was not lying. I really, really enjoyed Megan. It was really well done.
And
And
it's the lead actress out of Get Out, isn't it? What's she called?
so the lead actress, well, it depends on which one we're talking about. The adult, the aunt, is
Yes.
Allison Williams, played by
That's it.
Allison
Yeah,
Williams.
yeah, yeah.
The girl who loses her parents is played by Violet McGraw. And Megan is actually played by two different people, Amy Donald and Jenna Davis. So one's the
Okay.
voice and one's the body.
Yeah.
And I just like to say that when I knew found out originally that Ronny Chang was in it, I love Ronny. I was already kind of excited. Like, even though my expectations were low, I was excited. You know, it's nice to see an Asian actor in there. And I loved his character. I loved his character as so the aunt, her name's Gemma, the character's name's Gemma. Gemma's boss, David, is played by Ronnie, and he is just a jerk of a guy. This movie actually explores a lot of stuff. I think the general theme is that parents shouldn't let technology parent their children. That's a general cautionary tale. This actually felt like an extremely good and longer and larger budgeted episode of Black Mirror. Like, what could go wrong in the new future with this type of technology, right? Like, even at the beginning of the movie, they explored that with those Furby-like animals, which, by the way, toys, I mean, which, by the way, I love that they keep knocking on the Furby. Just in the design and the way it was, I was like, oh my God, this is a knock on Furbies. But seriously, like, these things are controlled by tablets and become a kid's friend. And already, even at the beginning of the movie, it's not really a spoiler because it's within the first 5 minutes, but you see, the girl playing with this doll, and she's totally obsessed with it. She's on her screen, like on the iPad. And the parents are arguing about it. So
Is the doll
that's
fully developed? Like, it, are the
you mean
parents
Megan.
aware? How, yeah.
So obviously the Furby like doll is not, right? It's a toy. It's and it's not really all that smart, but it's way better than anything we have. But Megan is fully developed. So Megan is an android. It's a learning android. Oh my God, was it Microsoft? Okay, this is what it reminds. Was it Micro? So I'm online.
No, it's
Twitter,
absolutely fine.
AI. Yeah, there you go. So a while back, Microsoft had an AI chatbot on Twitter. Tay, or is it Tay or Tay? That's the name of the bot. I don't know if you remember this in the news. So this party. Sorry, I just.
That's all
Wow,
right.
I had
That's all
one of
right.
those moments where I was ex trying to click back to the tab that I had Megan on with the cast list, and I saw the word party, and then I just said party. Never mind. Anyway, so this chatbot by I was gonna say party bot. Wait,
Something else.
man, I'm easily influenced. That's bad. That's a
We're gonna
weakness.
have those that little quote where it says a few minutes later.
A few minutes later, yes. So the chatbot, the AI, I'm really generalizing there, is basically they put it on Twitter, had the AI browse through all of Twitter through time, and then start learning, and start responding to people who tweet at the robot, at the AI, sorry. And then the AI, the Twitter account would respond to you. And the AI, again, data is only drawn from Twitter, nothing else. AI developed a personality. And it became essentially a very racist and very mean teenage girl. That's what this AI, and again, I am very, very, I'm generalizing here, guys. I know it's more complex, but it chose to be, the voice it chose to take was that of a racist teenage girl, because that's what this AI's perception of what Twitter is about and what form it should take to handle the situations it was given. Mostly people were attacking it, insulting it, and trying to roast it. And this thing, and I remember this thing came back at people with just vicious and savage replies, like really savage replies. Like it like, because it could read your entire account in seconds.
I
So
remember
look at
so
it.
yeah, I remember a part of this when it happened.
So So, let's say you're male, white, bald. It'll go after you, and a little overweight. It'll go after the fact that you're bald and overweight. Take pictures of you and just like, what's this? Who are you to talk? Blah blah blah. Like things like that. But it got really racist. Said a lot of things it shouldn't have. And then, Microsoft was accused of racism, and they're like, we didn't program this robot to be racist. It's just racist because of what it sees on. Anyways, I digress. Okay. That, by the way, just it's its own horror story to me. Honestly, to me,
It really is.
that is a real life horror story, especially for the people who made Tay or Ty, however you want to pronounce that name. Because oh my God, their project turned into a racist teenage girl. But anyways, they had to take her down. So when I watched Megan, I was very much reminded of the Twitter bot by Microsoft, because Megan's how Megan works is she combs the internet because it has infinite amounts of knowledge, and learns and learns and learns and learns. And you give Megan a prime directive, essentially a set of parameters that you want her to follow, which is, protect the child, blah blah blah. Obviously, she's the first of her kind. And the idea here is that they want her to be the prototype for a line of expensive, children's friend toy dolls, okay? Made by this company, which, by the way, they called Funky, which I'm pretty sure is a play on Funko.
Yeah, it's got to be thinking about it. Yeah.
Because of the Funko, the real life company Funko that makes pop figures, by the way, is expanding. They make so many different things now.
Oh, wow.
I honestly can totally see them getting in themselves in AI and robots and stuff in the future. I have no doubt they'll have like every IP, and you'll see little, like, I don't know, walking, talking pop figures or something in the future. I can see that. Anyway, again, tangent. Back to the point. So this movie reminded me very much of the Microsoft chatbot, and in the same way that the Twitter bot went wrong in many ways, Megan goes wrong. There's other things, many other things. I'm not really spoiling anything. I'm just saying she goes wrong. And the whole thing is a cautionary tale for us. And done and executed in the best possible way, in my opinion, with the actors performing at their best. And there's a lot of surprises, in terms of things like perception of, who's right, who's wrong, things like that. Who's at fault?
Yeah,
There are a
absolutely.
lot of questions, and I appreciate it. And again, the sheer amount of real life analogs there are portrayed in this movie to give us warnings about what we have in our world now that's veering towards a possible darker future, a la Black Mirror, is like, it's fantastic. And I am so glad this movie's out on streaming now, because again, I wasn't going to theaters. That's why I'm reviewing this movie as late as I am. I am just so glad I picked it up as soon as it was dropped, like released on streaming, because this is a must watch, in my opinion. You have to watch this. It's so good. And yes, the dance,
Oh, there's a whole
fantastic. I
dance
loved
thing, is
it.
there?
The dance part is fantastic. I loved it.
Is that like the has it got it's the kind of like own reputation, like the dance in Wednesday. Do you know what I mean? Like, is it become one of those memorable movie moments?
Yes, it is. And it's not random. It's definitely not random. They set up for it. So you don't feel like, what is going on? Why did they just throw this in out of nowhere? Like, it makes sense in the context of the movie.
Oh,
Which is
that
another
sounds
good
great.
thing, because I hate when, things are happening, this movie's kind of serious, blah blah blah, and suddenly out of nowhere characters just start doing something ridiculous. That's clearly done just for the
just for the hell of
what
it.
I would call in pro wrestling the cheap pop.
Yeah.
Can we pause the episode for a moment?
100%.
A few moments later.
So yeah, I actually got a phone call. My phone is on silent, but you know, I leave it next to me just in case. And that was my doctor calling, so I had to pick it up just in case. Thankfully, it's not a horror story. It's just I'm trying to get requisitions for certain tests to be done because I've been having like stomach issues, right?
Yeah.
So, which are terrible, by the way. Like, I have no idea why I have stomach aches. I've had cameras shoved down my throat, up my bum bum. I've had ultrasounds. I've had X-rays. And I'm on pills that help me regulate my acid. So they have no idea what's going on with me. Honestly, I think what it probably is in my advancing age, I've developed food sensitivities.
Yeah.
Sigh. So for me, this will be a horror. It's horrible. Like, it's horrifying. It's terrifying to even think about this, but I might have to actually go on an elimination diet. My sister-in-law did
that's
that.
Gonna take a long
basically
time, isn't it?
Like, yeah, you start eating, like, you have to like eliminate things, right? So
yeah,
you start by just eating like one certain cleaner things, and then you add something back, and then you take it away, whatever. You just add things back until you find a thing that's bothering you. It's a lot of work, especially when you have two kids who, you know, you have to feed. Like, having a separate diet from them will be very painful, time-wise and life-wise. But if that's what is needed to fix me, then it is what it is.
That's it. That's what you've got to go through. And it's going to be a long, arduous process, isn't it?
Yeah, let me tell you guys, getting cameras and tubes shoved up and down you from both ends, it didn't hurt like the way I thought it would. Mind you, I'm pansexual, so maybe that's why it didn't bother me. But no, seriously, it didn't. If any of you are scared, I think the prep leading up to those tests is worse because you have to take like laxatives.
Yeah.
A lot of laxatives. So I was on in the washroom for like a lot of time. So that's another horror story. Anyways, just letting you all know I am fine for now, but that's why we had to take a break. Back to Megan. I really think you guys should all watch it. Go watch Megan.
I really want to see it, and it's another home run for Jason Blum and Blumhouse Pictures. And is this? I think this is maybe the last horror he's producing.
Wait,
before the James Wan partnership kicks in. I think it's the last. But they are still creating horror independently, but they're coming together, I think, just after Megan. So it's going to be really interesting from after this as well, but it looks great. I really want to see it at home, and I didn't get a chance to see it at the cinema, but it looks I just finished the second season of Chucky, the series of Chucky, and I was kind of all tired out of robotic killers, but I'll give this a chance because it's Blumhouse. I've got not a short review, but I wanted to highlight a Paul Walker classic. It's not a terrible film. I started with a laugh, but it's from 2001. It's called Joyride, directed by John Dahl, who directed Rounders, and he is a super prolific TV director. He's done literally every TV show you can imagine. And this was co-written by J.J. Abrams and starring Paul Walker, Lily Sobieski, and Steven Zahn. And I worked in the cinema when this first came out. I didn't see it. I saw clips. And, this looks entertaining. Finally get to watch it 21 years later because it's my J in Alphabet Cinema at home. And it was way better than I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be awful. This is kind of the up prime of Paul Walker. and if you are a huge fan, and obviously it's a tragedy what happened to him. But there are scenes where obviously he's driving the car, and you know, it's pretty. It can connect back to that incident. But the film itself is very, very good, and it's actually informed how I'm going to make part of what I'm going to work on next, my short film called Courts, because they cast the voice of the truck driver in post-production. So they edited the entire film, and they needed to cast the part of the truck driver and the voice over the radio, the CB. And it ended up being Ted Levine, who's the Buffalo Bill serial killer in Silence of the Lambs. And he's got such a unique voice. There's no one like him in terms of his voice is so, so unique. And it was it was really fascinating to think that they've cast it after. They did the same thing with, you know, Darth Vader. They had you know, Dave Prowse as Vader, but his accent was from Birmingham, which is kind of the middle of the UK. And it definitely isn't right, especially if you hear his voice on the YouTube clips before James Earl Jones was introduced. But yeah, Joyride, 2001 film. It's only just over an hour.
Just to give some context for people, the film is about three young people on a road trip from Colorado to New Jersey, and they talk to a trucker on their CB radio, but then must escape when he turns out to be a psychopathic killer.
Yeah. I should have led with that. But yeah, very, very good. I really enjoyed it. We're pleasantly surprised, and I'm kind of through this Alphabet Cinema and discovering some little gems I've missed out on. And I consider that one,
I'm totally going to go watch that when I have a chance.
Yeah, there's two awful sequels.
I jumped onto the IMDb page for it, and there's like a little trailer running. And I have it on silent, but it looks fun.
Yeah, there's the sound design's good. Kind of the dynamic between the two brothers, played by Stephen Zahn and Paul Walker, is excellent. And
isn't it interesting that if they cast the voice in post production, then who were the actors listening to while they were playing the roles? Like,
yeah,
was it just the director saying all the lines in like this blah 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 monotonous tone?
Yeah. It is crazy to think that, and I'm looking at the credits on IMDb, and it doesn't come up in the top 20 actors in it. The voice on the radio and Ted Levine, you know, didn't know disrespect the other actors, but he's kind of a big name. He's never been kind of like leading man, but he's a great character actor. But yeah. He's fantastic, and yeah, it would be interesting to know. I'll look into that. Interesting to know who they're listening to. But yeah, it's great little film. Really, really, really surprised. And the sequels look dreadful. I've not watched them, but they look dreadful.
There are sequels?
Yeah, there's two. I think there's two.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. But the director...
CG the cars now?
Oh my god. Yeah, that's the thing. This hasn't got those CG vehicles like, you know, the later Fast and the Furious film. But John Dahl, the director, so it's co-written by J.J. Abrams, and, you know, Abrams is quite prolific himself. The director worked on, just quickly go through this, Walking Dead, Ray Donovan, Jessica Jones, Hannibal TV series, Aquarius, Justified, House of Cards, The Strain, The Bridge, Outlander, Californication, The Americans, Dexter, Person of Interest, Homeland, Falling Skies, Shameless, Caprica, A True Blood. He's done so much. Rounders movie, which is, I think, fantastic. And he did that just before this film. A few years before. But yeah, a prolific director. And yeah, great little movie. And the action's excellent as well.
Everybody, two movies for you to watch, Megan and Joyride. I don't have anything else to talk about, do you?
No, I think that's great. We'll be releasing individual reviews for other films on weekends, so please look out for those.
Thank you very much for listening. If you liked what you are listening to, please consider following us on social media. We are on Instagram as at the Hellbound Podcast. We do features of people's works, like cosplays or music or art or whatever. So if you want to get featured on our Instagram, please send us a private message there. Again, that's at the Hellbound Podcast. Also, please consider, if you haven't done so already, following us or subscribing to us on your preferred podcast platform. It would really help us a lot to get on their front pages and stuff, so we can get more listeners, so we can do more. And if you can give us a 5-star review or 10 out of 10 review, if that option is available, please do, because we love to hear your thoughts, especially when they're glowing and awesome. Thanks again, and Ernest to Darkness.